Jake, welcome back.
Well, thanks. It's a pleasure.
We have probably the biggest show we've ever done.
Oh, my gosh.
Living legend on the line. Let me name a few titles for you right now. See if it jogs your memory. A little book called Preacher.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
The Pro.
Oh, my.
Punisher. Crossed.
Yeah. I know that one, too.
Award-winning writer for that great Hitman issue. And writer of The Boys, Garth Ennis. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Was that the greatest intro you've ever gotten?
I don't know. I don't often listen to my intros, to tell you the truth.
I'll send it to you, and you can pass it around to everybody you know. The end of The Boys is here. We have a big sale for potential new readers, which is a great jumping on point. We have an omnibus that's pretty much, you know, a huge chunk of issues that you can get at a discounted price. So it's a perfect time for new readers. The Boys, at its core, is, you know, a team making sure that superheroes don't get out of line in this universe. When you submitted the final script, did you cry? Was it a sad event for you?
It was sad enough, I suppose. Let's see, you're talking about a year and a quarter ago, about 15 months since I turned that one in. So it's already something that's quite a way in the rear view for me. It's been, I've missed the characters, certainly. I've missed writing Butcher, missed writing Huey. But more than anything else, there's really just a sense of achievement, of a job well done. It came out exactly the way I wanted it to.
There's not a lot of books that last this long. A lot of, you know, creators that do it their own way and that last this long of a series.
No, it's a tricky thing to get right. Unless you have a massive hit like The Walking Dead, which immediately develops its own built-in audience, or you have, until recently, an imprint like Vertigo, where they'll kind of prop up the feeble sales of the independent style comic with the huge corporation behind them. Unless you have that, you end up walking a very, very fine line. So it was nice to find an audience. It was nice to be able to finish the story.
When it first had come out, The Boys was billed as, you know, really controversial, especially compared to Preacher. Do you get tired of that kind of hype or promotion, especially, you know, now when creator-owned is bigger than it has been in previous years?
Not really. I mean, another thing I take little interest in is promotion and hype and so on. So while on the one hand, I was happy to have the two books compared, Preacher and The Boys, if it helped sell them, I didn't really mind any judgments on that kind of promotion. This ties into your last question, actually, because the environment can be a little hostile for books like these. It's really a question of making it work by any means necessary. Mm-hmm. Anything that lets me alone to tell my story and finish my story, I'm pretty much happy to go ahead with.
Right, because I think, and even today, there's a lot of great creator-owned books, but it's almost as if they're walking on eggshells, you know, with certain publishers where they try to tell the story they want to tell, but who knows, 3 months down the line where that's it.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly
the end of the series.
You can look at Image, where you have two huge hits, Saga and Walking Dead. And, gosh, how many titles must have rolled over and died after about 3 or 4 months, mm-hmm. you say, 6 months? Vertigo's another one. You could count the number of their successes on the fingers of two hands.
Yeah.
And against that, you'd have 10 times that number of books that were gone inside a year and a half.
And you'd almost wish that a lot of the books that start at, you know, yours started at a different umbrella publisher,
right.
And, you know, I think it's at 6 issues, and you were able to hop over to elsewhere, and you were able to tell the story that you wanted to tell.
That's right. That was a slightly different situation, because we ran into direct trouble with the publisher there, so that wasn't a question of sales. Once we were at the new publisher, however, Dynamite, there's no question that we were able to parlay the controversy that erupted at the time into a certain sales increase, but that didn't last long, and we found that the book settled down more or less to what it had been selling back at BC, and that was the audience that allowed it to survive for the rest of the run.
So I have a question. When you're writing these stories, these really controversial moments, and they're really fun, like a lot of them are just very, very fun moments, but do you find that you get into these like moments, like for instance in Butcher Baker, there's the moment of the baby flying around on the umbilical cord, which is probably one of my more favorite moments of the boys. Do those come up? Like, do you think of those things as the story is evolving in your mind, or do you just think of these fun, really crazy things and then try and work them into the story more often?
The boys was really, it was an odd one for me in that, because it had such a long gestation period, much of it was already set in my mind long before I started writing. Started actually writing scripts, that is. It took about, for one reason or another, 3 or 4 years from when I first started kicking the idea about to when the book came out. And so much of the story and the major incidents and so on were already in place. Pretty much the major notes that you saw hit in the last year of the book, including the Butcher series, I would say, were kind of set in stone as far back as issue one.
Wow. Hmm.
And what's cool, I personally think, I like the storylines that, in most comics, that are kind of set in either a one-issue format or 3 or 4 issues. And a lot of your storylines had, you know, the overarch of a bigger thread, but a lot of them were, you know, 3 issues or what have you. Do you prefer that, like, you know, once the series is done, do you prefer that kind of mini format, whether it be, you know, 3 issues, 4 issues, or trades, or the single monthly, do you think, looking back on things?
I tend to think in terms of trades, whether I'm writing a long-form book like The Boys or a mini-series, which I'm writing several of at the moment, my goal is the trade, is the complete story, all under one set of covers, all to be read at once.
Hmm.
So The Boys, for instance, I was thinking in terms of 12 books on a shelf. One day, I think that was something that Preacher taught me. Mm-hmm. Preacher was more of a leap into the dark, fingers crossed. Once it succeeded, it taught me the value of thinking in terms of stories as a whole, rather than just hoping for the best.
Right. Shot in the dark.
When Steve Dillon and I started Preacher, we had no idea if it would work, if it would survive, if it had died after 6 months and been one more Vertigo failure. Neither of us would have been remotely surprised, whereas with The Boys, I had a sneaking suspicion, well, more than a sneaking suspicion, that I would probably be all right, that it would probably go the distance.
Right.
And so that way I was able to think in terms of trades.
In previous interviews on The Boys, you've said that you hoped this would be the last time you write superheroes. Is that because you felt this was kind of your final say-so on Supes in The Boys, or do you just think you just need a break and you know, it's just the current landscape is, it's not something you want to write about?
It's a bit of both, really. It's very rare that I set out to write superhero stories. It mostly happens by accident. There's things that are fun, like The Pro, and there's something like The Boys, which is supposed to be my statement on superheroes, my take on the whole genre, and on the notion of comics that run in shared universes and so on. The rest of the superhero stuff I've done has really been more accidental, guest appearances in The Punisher and Hitman,
yeah,
things like that, which, fun though they were, probably wouldn't have happened if I'd been just left to get on with it anyway, but certain other influences, editorial and sometimes the wishes of the artist, can come into play, and you end up writing stuff that you wouldn't have otherwise. Another example, I did a couple of series of Ghost Rider. I probably wouldn't have if I'd been given the choice, but it was made clear that it would help to have a commercial hit to support the sales of something like Punisher Max,
right,
which at that time hadn't really taken off in trade and whose future was looking a little uncertain. So you throw them a bone, as they themselves said at the time.
I think I remember the first time that I saw, when I was growing up, the first time I saw that, you know, your take on the kind of satire of certain characters was you were writing Punisher, and there was I think it was a two-parter starring Wolverine, and Darick had done the art on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you ended up, I think he shot Wolverine's face off, and then he ran him over with a steamroller in one scene. And Wolverine's, I think his entire dialogue was just like parody of all of his quotes over the existence of his career.
Pretty much. Coming to superhero comics from outside, coming as an adult instead of, as most people do, as a kid who then grows up with them, the more absurd side of them is what comes to the fore for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to Wolverine, I looked at him, and the first thing that really occurred was a sort of Yosemite Sam character, rather than the more serious sort of samurai trained warrior that I think they like to push in the books, which I've become aware of since.
I don't even think that was Max, was it? Looking back, I couldn't believe that that was like printed and...
That was before Max. It was the first Punisher series I did, which, while fun, wasn't really what I think of as my definitive take on the Punisher. It was more fun.
I think my favorite Punisher issue that you've done was the Marvel for a while did those Marvel The End issues. The one where he was coming out of the post-apocalyptic, apocalypse. That was, I think, one of my favorite ones that you've done. That and the
right.
I remember that one.
That one actually started at the behest of Marvel, because I think they were doing a series at the time just called The End for all their characters, and it was suggested I do one. And obviously, I thought, well, the Punisher's life is grim enough; his death should be pretty unpleasant too. The great thing about that, of course, was getting to work with Richard Corbin, which was a real bonus.
God, his stuff on that was just like magic. Every page has he like progressed through the radiation, and he was pretty much just crying, like, you know, the silver radiation. Oh man, so good.
Mm.
In your free time, what do you find yourself reading?
Not many comics, unfortunately. I do read Saga, which I think is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
I do sometimes stop myself and ask, why am I reading a book about space elves? I find that a little hard to believe, but the reason, of course, is Brian Vaughan. He's that good. I follow him anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also reading some of the Crossed books, currently enjoying David Hines and Cy Spurrier's take on the webcomic. And I'm also very much enjoying Alan Moore's new book, Fashion Beast, which is an old story, but a new book. Beyond that, I tend not to read a lot of comics. I don't even read much fiction. I read a lot of political writing, a lot of history, particularly military and World War II history, but less and less fiction by the day for some reason.
Those war books would be good for the new Battlefield series.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, much of it isn't really research so much for a specific story. It's just reading about new battles, new conflicts, new wars, and now and again, something will spark, and I'll find myself thinking, I really want to write a story about this, which is how Battlefield started in the first place.
Wow.
The boys' sale starts Tuesday night through Thursday. Perfect time for new readers if you've never checked it out, or if you have issues missing from your collection, I recommend it. Garth, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. My pleasure.